Classic Business with Michael Avery on FMR.
Welcome back to Classic Business Monday, and that means time to talk entrepreneurship, where we bring you stories of all the remarkable South Africans doing a fantastic job in the world of tech and innovation and flying the flag of South Africa's startup industry. And today we have Motsi Madisi, who is a chairperson of the SA Startup Act movement, to discuss the UK SA Tech Hub second round of funding for the Startup Act movement. Second round of funding, really good to hear that and to chat again, Motsi. Perhaps you could just remind us what the Startup Act is all about and the role that Simodisa plays as head of the steering committee for the Startup Act movement.
Great. So thank you so much, Michael. It's so exciting to be able to engage around what we are doing in supporting startups in South Africa. And this is from an organization called the SA Startup Act Movement. It's a concerned citizens like you and I that are positive around what South Africa can do and offer the rest of the world, but are concerned regarding the policy restrictions that disable startups from growing and scaling their businesses globally. And I think just to give a little bit of quick context, what do we mean by startups, right? Because sometimes you wake up, you have an idea, and then you start a business. That's not what we're referring to. So we're referring to innovation-driven tech or technology-enabled businesses. They must be younger than 5 years, so they're still quite young, right? So hence the startup phrase, and then generating less than 100 million, but they want to scale and grow their businesses beyond South Africa. So they invest a lot in research and development, and they also create and register their intellectual property, primarily in South Africa. But given where things are, because it's become very costly and there's a lot of red tape, it's become very difficult for startups to grow their businesses from South Africa. There's an exodus of very talented technology or technology-enabled startups that are leaving and setting themselves up in Europe, setting themselves up in America, or just down the road, Mauritius, right? Because Mauritius and those various jurisdictions have made it very attractive for talent globally to come into their own markets and grow their technology or technology-enabled businesses.
Now, that's a very important point. And I was attending a banking conference, facilitating a conference at Gibbs, where we had the deputy governor of the Saab, Kuben Naidu, deliver the keynote. And I took him up on this issue of exchange controls. And I said, come on, DG, you know, when are we going to get rid of exchange controls? Because of the handbrake that they are for the local startup movement. And I mean, he rather cynically said, don't talk to me about, companies trying to dodge taxes or create fancy structures. And I had to bite my tongue because this is a very real problem for startups. Motsi, can you just share some detail in particular around IP and how exchange controls really limit the ability for local startups to innovate and raise international funding?
So I would have gasped and probably collapsed if I got that kind of retort. I wouldn't even say it's feedback, but retort from an official from the government. And it's to our point that we are not saying remove it. We are not saying there isn't any abuse, right? It does exist. But for those who are in earnest and generally wanting to grow and build their businesses, exchange control is a challenge, right? And some of the recommendations that we put forward as a Startup Act is remove onerous and costly restrictions on the transfer of intellectual property. Because the reality is, if I'm an international investor wanting to invest in a South African registered, IP registered business so that it can scale and broaden itself into other markets, we have exchange control, right? It's a process that's onerous and costly that investors and the startups have to go through, so that there is, you know, a little bit of clarity. But by the time we're in a very competitive environment, because if I'm an American investor, I'm just making an example, and I want to invest in businesses in Africa, but then the businesses that come from South Africa have to go through a process of exchange control. But there's other competing startups that are coming from Kenya or Nigeria or Egypt, right? Because those are the top key markets right now that are really, really doing well in terms of venture attraction. They will really struggle to build a business case around why invest in a South African entity that has to go through rigorous and onerous and costly restrictions such as IP. So, and some of our recommendations, we're not saying remove it entirely. it's an example of revise the cumbersome and costly exchange control restrictions imposed on startups that are wanting to, that are already establishing themselves globally. Mm. And I mean, something as simple as, the Reserve Bank to consider amending the currency and exchanges manual for authorized dealers to allow reporting rather than prior approval for IP transactions. So instead of, allowing for prior approval, which is quite lengthy, they just need to amend the currency and exchange manual with authorized dealers that you would then find at banks, right? And then another one is the Reserve Bank to implement further exchange control relaxations, extending the provisions for technology-enabled startups and scale-ups. And then another one, thirdly, that also still deals with Reserve Bank is delays with the capital gains tax. Because really what happens, Michael, is that before you even have a liquidity event in your venture, you're already being taxed capital gains tax. So that for us is that instead of charging it before they make the money, charge it when they've made the money, because the reality is they're already charging it before they make the money. And why would anybody want to then have a South African registered company that when it now has to broaden itself and go outside, this is what happens?
Yeah, I mean,
so these are some practical examples. Yeah,
and I'm glad you shared them. I didn't have the numbers in front of me at the time, so I was kind of slack-jawed by his response, and we kind of moved on. But I went back and I looked, because I know that Simidisa did a survey amongst startup entrepreneurs and looked at case studies along with I think it was Endeavor and Silicon Cape and a few others, and I think it was well over 50 respondents. 81% moving their businesses offshore to raise investment from international investors. 85% of that sample ended up having to set up an offshore company. And it was with almost 70% reporting that that was a requirement, a prerequisite of the offshore investor before they would invest. So, I mean, these are real world, case studies, examples of challenges that startups are having. It's not about trying to, dodge what's equitable or fair. It's about ensuring that we make the conducive environment for our entrepreneurs and our startups to thrive. Talk to me about now what this means to have the UK SA Tech Hub committing to a second round of funding, because I think it's a really significant move showing that this partnership is starting to yield results. And can you just elaborate a little bit more on where you are in the startup act process? I mean, where do we go from here?
So I think it's great that we've had the UK SA Tech Hub come on board for the second time, because it has enabled us as a startup movement, which is also a non-profit organization, to be able to keep engaging the government, right? So we've been able to engage the government. Treasury, I think, to some degree is the one that is the most important, but the one that is the most hard to reach. But we've had engagements with the Department of Small Business Development. They support what we're doing. The Department of Science and Innovation, they support what we're doing. We've engaged with the DG, with the minister. We've also engaged with Deputy Finance Minister David Masondo. So through him, we will try to then get to Treasury and saying these are the reforms that don't require a lot of money from the country. It's not going to enable other people to, run away from. So it's also what you mentioned earlier. It's a sentiment because people lack the understanding.
Yeah.
They would rather, just dismiss it and say we're trying to avoid people from tax evasion versus trying to understand what we are asking for, which is not that. So with the UK SA Tech Hub coming on board, it's enabled us to be able to have these conversations, right? But also, I think it's worth mentioning, Michael, that why are South African organizations and foundations or institutions struggling or not wanting to come on board and financially participate? Because that's what the UK SA Tech Hub has done.
Yeah.
And this is the UK. It's not necessarily a South African entity that wants to enable progressive policy reform. It's a foreign entity coming into South Africa because they believe that things such as the business visa, it does challenge them trying to come into South Africa. Nobody's trying to tax evade by coming into South Africa, sharing their skills, especially when it comes to startups that want to, because everybody loves Cape Town. But it's hard for technology startups, even those who have registered their businesses in South Africa or have had like an extension of their businesses, but now in South Africa. I know of a company, I won't mention names, that literally it's a global business emanated from Nigeria, And now it has a branch in South Africa. It's got an office. It's got a team that is South African. But the founder of that particular business is not able to come into South Africa. So it just talks to the unnecessary policies that are disabling. So luckily, we've had some traction with the president. Traction in the form that he's mentioned it a couple of times, but has he actioned it? It's still something we're following up on as a movement regarding policy reform with startups. So creating a startup visa or remote working visa. So we are having conversations in that regard with Home Affairs. But just saying, South Africa is in a wonderful country. We have so much to offer the world, but our government sometimes does not want to engage with those people on the ground who are trying to grow our economy, those people on the ground who are trying to create jobs, those people who are like ourselves are saying, here are a few recommendations because we've done our research. We have the numbers around what's the exodus of potential income generating businesses that are leaving our country. So can you not assist us, please, Treasury, especially Treasury? I mean, at least Home Affairs has come on board with the reforms of the startup visa. They've mentioned it a few times during SONA. But Treasury, come on, Reserve Bank, come on, let's just do something and not just dismiss it.
Exactly. And there shouldn't be the kind of ideological or political roadblocks that we might see for other reforms when it comes to bringing in private sector participation in rail, for example, even though it's been stated and we know ideologically that it's a contested space in the political arena. We're talking about reforms that generally, once you present the facts to individuals, technocrats, they will understand that ultimately we've been shooting ourselves in both feet or trying to compete with one hand tied behind our back, and with a stroke of a pen, we can free up all of this entrepreneurial dynamism and innovation to help grow the economy. And, you know, when Jack Ma was here a couple of years ago for one of the president's first investment summits, what did he say? You've got to make entrepreneurs your everyday heroes. That's what we did in China. If you want to follow our model, that's what you have to do. So we wish you all the best in continuing to bang this drum and to knock on the right doors, Matsi, because it is a cause worth supporting and amplifying. Let us know how it goes.
And thank you so much for always giving us a platform here to be able to share what we are, who we are, and also the progress that we've done. So we've made some great strides. Now we are engaging with the government, and that's been different from all the other years, because before we were just engaging amongst ourselves and nothing happens. But now at least we're engaging with the government. So thanks so much for the platforms.
Fantastic. Matsi Madisi, chairperson of the SA Startup Act movement, talking a little bit more about a second round of funding from the UK SA Tech Hub. Come on, local organizations, get behind this movement and let's help create positive change for our entrepreneurs here on Classic Business. Well, that's a wrap for tonight's show. Thanks for tuning in to Classic Business. As always, if you've missed any